We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Light years. Andy, is that not one? Is this not been a very memorable, exciting playoff so far?
Sometimes I think to myself these last few weeks, I don't know if it's just maybe the bubble playoffs that weren't special, you know, that weren't something that blew my mind outside of it was just different, or these are just an amazing playoffs. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, this last month or so has been spectacular. I feel like I'm watching a superstar grow up every game. Like, I don't care what game it is. I don't care what team it is. I'm looking at it, I'm like, all right, well, D-Book, that's a superstar. Trae Young, that's a superstar, right? Nikola Jokic, already a superstar. But, like, you go down the line every single
Kevin,
team you're watching.
Kevin Herter, superstar.
Super. Klay Thompson, you know what I mean? The new Klay Thompson. Like, it's just every single game I'm watching. You know, Drew Holiday. Oh, my God. Maybe not him. But just, it's been special. It's been amazing.
For the listeners, we'll be talking lottery in the second half of this podcast. Join us Tuesday night for the lottery postgame show on Green Room, formerly known as the Locker Room app. We will be reacting to where the Warriors pick. We'll be reacting to the Warriors getting the number one and the number four pick, something they have 0.17% of a chance of happening. But Adam Silver's got to rig it for us, right?
Yeah, I mean, that show will be fun. That show will be, everybody knows what the Warriors are going to, what they're up against. But I think that will be probably the biggest moment for the Warriors in the last few months, easily since that Lakers. Honestly, it's been the biggest moment all year because, you know, as a Warriors fan, you kind of look at the season and you're like, well,
we know they're not chasing wins.
Exactly. You know, they weren't trying to win a title. So this is it, right? Like, if they end up getting a top four pick, which is possible, that's huge. That's huge. So we'll be doing a post game show. It feels like post game. It feels like a game that's
does
feel
like a post game show. But yeah, we'll be getting to that. We've kind of pushed back draft analysis stuff because I just want to see where the picks land before we start like breaking down prospects.
Yeah, I need to know who to watch. It might not be worth watching Scottie Barnes, you know, if they end up with a seventh pick. You know what I mean? So yeah, well, let me get some time to watch some of these guys. But yeah, you're right.
We'll get into it. But I want to start on the final four. Feels a little bit like a changing. Does it feel like a changing in the guard or just a random year? Which do you think?
Final four is such a. It feels like a random year, more random year than a changing of the guard, in my opinion. It does feel like the Final Four name is apt because when you think of Final Four, you think of college basketball. And when you think of college basketball, March Madness, you think of like usually Final Four is like two random teams, then like a blue blood team, right? Like Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky or something like that. This season, it's literally, it's Atlanta, it's Milwaukee, it's Phoenix, and then it's the Clippers. Like, which one of these teams are the blue blood teams, right? It really does feel like a Final Four where it's like George Mason is in the goddamn, you know, like George Mason is in the final. That's what it feels like.
It has been awesome to watch some young players grow up. Devin Booker has been my favorite one. Phenomenal game on Sunday, 40-point triple-double. One of my biggest takes from the playoffs has actually been, I think the floor has been raised so much in the NBA over the last couple of years. Like, it's not good enough just to have a superstar, as we found out with the Warriors this year. it's as the Lakers found out, like you really need to have like a team and an identity and some certain principles. And you want your superstar to drive you home. We're no longer in 2004 where like you could just put a bunch of goons around Kobe Bryant or Tim Duncan. And like, that's good enough. Like you get one of those guys, and you get a bunch of goons and you're good. Now you really need a lot more talent to get yourself in the conversation.
The Clippers, I think, was one of those. Like all these guys, you can make the note for all these teams. But the Clippers are the easy example because I was having dinner. So I was kind of watching it at the side of my, by the way, Epic Steakhouse. Very good steak. If you're a steak guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a huge steak guy. It's not what I grew up eating, but incredible. Had the Clippers Jazz game 6. Cause I thought, you know, this is going to 7-1. I don't really have to pay attention. And a third year player, second round pick.
He comes out Jerry West.
Yeah. And 39 points and really is the main reason why they're playing against the Phoenix Suns right now. And you're right. There is just a lot more talent than in these teams that I've seen before. Cam Johnson today, I'm watching him and I'm just like, that would be the second best player, second best offensive player on the Warriors this season. Cam Johnson just easily. And he's what? He's just like the fifth guy on Phoenix, maybe. You know,
he's a legitimate shooter, though. Yeah,
he's legit. And I think there's just so much talent on all of these teams. I think is what you're trying to say. I'm just boiling it down, but it's just there's so much more talent on these teams, especially offensively. I think especially offensively.
Yeah, that's been my big take. Obviously, defense is still very important, but I feel like the league is skewing so much more offensively. You almost want to deviate to offensive talent before worrying about defense. We watched Ben Simmons in game 7 do just a horrendous Draymond Green impression, afraid to shoot the ball, afraid to attack the rim. I think this is probably a low for him. I really don't think he's this bad. I think this might end up being like the reality check he needs to get his game in order a little bit. But like, it's just it reminds me so much of Draymond where you're like, dude, I don't care how high your IQ is. I don't care how many positions you can guard on defense. You got to put the ball in the hoop if you're open. I'm not asking you to hit Steph Curry shots. I'm asking you to finish one-on-ones at the rim. I'm asking you to hit an open catch and shoot, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think the open catch and shoot is probably even asking for too much. But again, he had a wide open dunk. The thing's viral now. But like you can watch Ben Simmons down 2 with 4 minutes to go, and he has a wide open dunk, and he passes to Tybal, which is like, if you're so smart, why are you passing to Tybal who can't shoot, right? And then Tybal gets fouled, and he makes 1 out of 2 free throws, and Embiid after the game pretty much says, like, hey, like, that was kind of the play where it kind of it rattled us a little bit. Like, can you imagine that? You're getting rattled off a play your own teammate made where in a possession where you actually scored, where I guess it's somewhat of a positive. You scored 1 point that possession, and they were still like if this is what we're playing with, like, how can we – that Sixers team looked miserable. Like they just looked like they didn't want to play with each other. And that's probably part of it, right? Like that's the Ben Simmons stuff. Not different than Draymond, right? Like the comp is kind of there, but Ben Simmons, I think, has been a lot worse. And I think it's just, but you think of it from a Warriors perspective, kind of the same stuff. You saw the same stuff for Draymond. It's just, they have a lot more vets where Steph is not really ever going to get rattled because of Draymond.
Yeah, and the rest of the players in the Warriors are just too young to like do the eye roll at Draymond thing. True. But like from a basketball perspective, Atlanta was guarding Ben Simmons with John Collins, sagging off him most of the game. Come on, man. Ben Simmons should have put John Collins through the hoop a couple times during that game. He should have gotten easy 15. He should have, and if it wasn't John Collins, it was Gallinari. But like the point stands. It's like you got to take advantage of those matchups because it's hard to come by baskets in the playoffs if one guy's is afraid to shoot it.
Well, Ben Simmons, you also tweeted this. He's also way more athletic than Draymond. He can actually finish the ball at the
whole. He should be able to go over those guys.
Yeah, he can dunk. Like, you know what I mean? Like Draymond's a lot of his problems, not his fault. He's not vertically athletic, right? Like he's not a tallest guy. He's not really an offensive player. Ben Simmons, you're like, dude could go through. Like, there's no reason Danilo Gallinari is staying in front of him. John Collins, very good player, but he's not a defensive player.
No,
and
not
so there's so right. Like that was one of those things where. And now Draymond, he makes his free throws now. So that's a little bit different from Ben Simmons. Like that's the thing where I feel like with Ben Simmons, it's and he's young, he's mid 20s. He's not washed up. It was really one of the one of the weirdest things. Was he rattled? We've seen LeBron rattled on the biggest stage. We've seen a lot of people, legends rattled.
It looked mental to me.
That was rough. That was rough. And so the Joel Embiid, that for Warriors fan, you know, everybody listening is a Warriors fan. You know, when the Sixers are looking to, because there's no way they're running this team back. There's no chance.
Right.
And so if you're a Warriors fan, you're rooting for that, right? You know, maybe it's Ben Simmons. He's on the block. Maybe Joel Embiid requests a trade. Whatever it is that may be, like, that's what you're rooting for, because that gives the Warriors a shot at a superstar.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, on the flips, on the other side, you see someone like Kevin Huerter, someone I was hoping the Warriors could trade for. Now I'm like, that's just not happening at all. In my mind, I was thinking, you know, they probably don't want to pay Huerter and Bogdanovich and Gallinari and Collins while maxing Trae Young. Like, that's a lot of money to pay to a lot of teams, right? So maybe they want to trade one of them. Maybe that's a guy the Warriors could look at to trade their pick for. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, there's no chance they'll move Gallinari or something before they give away a young player like that. But when I look at Kevin Huerter, it's hard for me not to think of the fact that might have been Travis Schlenk's best pick. Travis Schlenk, obviously, Trae Young, superstar.
Full hipster mode there. Yeah, very nice.
Well, no, but I was saying, but like picking someone like Huerter at 19, that is actual scouting and development. Like, anyone could have picked Trae Young in the top five.
Well, it did take some guts. I'll let you finish your point, but it did take some guts choosing Trae, because it could have just chose the
other. Yes. We can get into Luka versus Trae, but
which is now a conversation. How crazy is that? But
But Huerter at, I want to say 19. That's really where executives, in my opinion, make their money, in that middle, like, non-top five range, where some guys hit, some guys don't. You're getting a shot at talent, but you really have to know what you're looking at. And Huerter, little bigger than people think. Like, he's a legit 6'7", better handle than people think, can create his own shot on top of being a catch and shoot guy. I mean, shout out Travis Schlenk, right? That was just a great pick. I mean, they've built he's built a nice roster in 3 years from scratch.
And he was kind of forced into going all in this season, or not all in, but at least leveraging some of the cash he had and assets he had. And he built a team that's now an Eastern Conference Finals team, regardless of who they played and what happened. They had injuries too. Bogdan Bogdanovich didn't play. He looked like he couldn't move out there, right? Like, that was their big possession. He's fantastic. It didn't matter.
He's banged up. Yeah.
Yeah. He's banged up out there. And Danilo Gallinari's out here. There's another guy that they got. He's getting huge shots, huge 3-point shots all game long. And from a Warriors perspective, now the Warriors have the choice. You know, again, with the lottery show coming up, we're going to discuss this. They're going to have a 15th or 14th pick, right? Like, most likely in that ish area.
Yeah. They're probably going to get something between like 5 and 7, and then something around 14. They have a shot at non-obvious talent. That's the thing that's interesting. That's where you really make your money as a talent evaluator.
And like you said, like, Travis Schlenk is the guy that is that talent evaluator, right? Like, that's the guy that the Warriors lost, that he was kind of known for picking those players and making those choices. Nowadays, with the Warriors, we're interested to see who's that guy. We kind of know, like, who's taking over for him, but, like, are they good enough to pick players like those guys that the Hawks have gotten? But on the flip side, Kevin Huerter, it is what year? 3?
Correct.
Right? So you kind of can't – it's year 3, looks fantastic. But, like, if you're the Warriors right now, it's like you pick a guy at 14. Well, wait till year 3, because now we're talking about 2024. That's tough. But, again, those are all things you got to care about.
Yeah, and that's where it gets really interesting, because I'm looking at these teams and there's no one as good as Steph Curry on any of the final four teams. No. Maybe Kawhi Leonard can make a case, but I don't even know if Kawhi's going to play again the rest of the way, right? But when I look at these rosters, I'm going, okay, Steph's better than Giannis, but after Steph, maybe the next 5 to 6 players are Bucks players, maybe 7, honestly. Okay, throw Draymond in there. You can do the same thing with every one of these rosters. One of my bigger pet peeves has been just kind of the Wiggins hype machine. I think Wiggins is fine. I think he's done really good, but, like, there's a lot of I'm only watching my team when I'm talking up Wiggins and not watching what's going on with other teams around the league. In other words, he is objectively a very good defender. He probably deserved to get some all defensive team votes. He didn't get them because he has a bad reputation. But he's not a game-changing defender. He's not like a stopper in the, you know, prime Iguodala sense. He's not necessarily a great offensive player either. He's not a shot. He's not the shot maker some of the guys worse we've been seeing in the playoffs are. And I don't mean to pick on him. I'm just pointing out that, like, this team has to find a way to add talent from, let's just say, the fourth guy on the roster to, like, the eighth guy on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love that point. The I watch my guys more than other people, so you fall in love with that. I mean, that's true. I think,
and we all do it on some level. Like, they, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm smart than anyone. Like, I watch more Warriors than any other team, so I'm just
too much goddamn Warriors. Love them. Can't wait for the new guys that they'll end up with. But 38% from three, Andrew Wiggins, right? Like, that's as far as I'm concerned, an outlier season. Also a season where you play with Steph Curry. Things are gonna look great. Like, when you play with Steph Curry, you're gonna get open shots. So yeah,
all that open space, he could still only get like 2.5 assists a game. Like, he was playing with an open court the whole way. You know, a lot of this stuff points out to, like, it's not that I want him gone or anything, but it's like, I don't foresee him as like something you have to protect with all your life either.
Yeah. There are, if you look at some of these teams, I also think it's optimistic to think the Warriors could win a championship next season. Like, that's not unrealistic, right? You look at some of these teams and you're like, well, number one, anything can happen. We see that this season, whether it be injuries or whether it just be some of these guys that look amazing in the postseason, anything can happen. That tells me that the Warriors are good enough to win a title next season. But the other thing is that some of these guys do look pretty rattled when you watch some of these games. And it is cool to watch these teams and then think of the Warriors and go, man, like, Warriors in crunch time, Warriors in the Western Conference semis finals, Western Conference finals, NBA finals, they had some dudes that were ready to play in the moment. Steph, Clay, Draymond, right? Draymond would be great in the moment too. And I look at some of these players this season, it's not really their fault because they're pretty new to the stage, but they look pretty, like the Bucks. I watched Chris Middleton and Drew like take turns shitting their pants for 45 minutes before they put it together. Joe Harris was another guy that just I think he's petrified out there. Thank God now he's out of the postseason. Now he could get to go on vacation. But you watch some of these guys and you're like,
Lord, he could not hit a shot for about four games there. That was terrible. My God.
I felt bad for him. But so I think that's cool. Right? You think of the Warriors, you're like, I'm not worried about Steph, Clay, and Draymond if they get there. They're not going to be rattled.
Yeah, absolutely. But then what you do worry about is how much offense Draymond can give you and how many minutes Clay can give you, which gets back to our larger point. Like, we all would like the Warriors to add a superstar, but honestly, I just want them to add players at this point. I'm totally cool with them not adding a superstar if they get 3 to 4 players who can contribute and we have like a new school strength in numbers type of team. Because I'm looking at the teams left in the playoffs. They're all really good, but it's not like Phoenix has like 6 superstars.
Yeah.
They're just a really well-constructed team with 1 superstar. Sorry, Chris Paul. 1 all-star. Well, 2 all-stars. Ayton's playing like a borderline all-star. Mm-hmm. And Chris Paul is just objectively an all-star level contributor who does a lot of winning things. Quite frankly, in the same vein as like a Draymond, you know? I look at like the Clippers too. Yeah, PG is an all-star and borderline superstar. Kawhi is a superstar. Everyone else on their roster is just good. They're just good players. You know, like, I would love to have a Batum, a Marcus Morris. I don't know what happened to rehab Reggie Jackson, but he's been excellent.
Amazing. One of the players that I hated watching. Now
he was on the list of like least likable watches.
Least like, well, I guess he still took some terrible shots today, but objectively he has been fun for the last few weeks. I compared him to, he's having the postseason that Fred VanVleet had a couple years ago, that he just suddenly had a baby and just decided to never miss a shot again. So it was phenomenal. Go down the list of the Phoenix Suns. So you talk about, let's run that back. So you got Booker as a superstar, you got Chris Paul as an all-star, you got DeAndre Ayton, who's the rising fringe all-star guy.
Playing at an all-star level for sure. But yeah.
And then you got Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder as your 3-and-D guys. Cam Johnson, who's an excellent shooter. You got Campaign as the scoring guard off the bench. Right? That's 4 guys. four guys that'll play.
Even Dario Saric. Dario Saric is the type of guy that maybe the Warriors wouldn't play because they're not a great defender. You can count on Dario Saric coming for 15 minutes and give you some shot making and do some things. You know,
Torrey Craig, who they picked up for free, essentially can make a three. Right, like that's another guy, right? So they like you look up and down the roster and you're like, man, these guys can make shots. Home games. So
all of a sudden, it's like it's a nine-player rotation of guys who would all play in the Warriors rotation, and like you wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah. So I think part of it to kind of look and be optimistic moving forward is some of these guys that these teams pick up are. Like when you think of
Campaign's a perfect example. Campaign was essentially a veteran minimum signing. Reggie Jackson, a veteran minimum signing. You know, like Nicholas Batum.
Batum, yeah, that's right.
Batum was the most obvious one, and he's way better than that. And it points out to kind of the point we've been getting at, which is you're not going to get perfect players playing in the margins, but you can find guys. And there's opportunity there, and just saying you're capped out is not a viable excuse.
I mean, like Campaign is not a Warriors type of player. Like that's one guy where it's like he's got some talent. No, the Suns probably got lucky. Like they probably didn't think he's gonna be this good. But you're thinking if you only can spend the veterans minimum, right, or whatever amount, you can't get the perfect player. You just got to get the player that you feel has the most talent. And that's something that'd be interesting for the Warriors to do, because they've done this show before, but they've opted for guys that are probably less talented, but to fit the system better, I think. And so that's...
Or even guys with the wrong type of talent. That's the other thing. Like we can talk about Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre is talented, but he can't hit a shot from the outside with any sort of consistency, and he doesn't create for others. So what exactly is he doing, right? Like, so he's athletic. Like there's a finite amount of utility you can really get out of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can go on this forever. Do you want to hit on the Brooklyn game real quick? Cause I feel like that was the game of the playoffs.
Yeah. That was
Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Let's do a couple minutes on that. Kevin Durant. I don't even know where to begin with that. Like I thought he won the game with the regulation shot. It was, his foot was on the line. But Milwaukee just outlasting them as he was trying to go hero ball the whole way is in some ways an example of the era we're in, you know, like as great as KD is, and he is the best player in the NBA. He's out of his mind. He nearly pulled it off with kind of a ragtag bunch. And, you know, James Harden did his best to give the game away, even though he was injured too. But the Bucks, man, just Giannis holding it together and just playing as a unit the rest of the way.
A couple things. Yeah, a couple things with that series. I like the way you kind of drew that up. I think first thought I had in my head was I rooting for KD? Was I rooting against KD? I don't think I was doing either of those things. I just wanted to watch a good series. Honestly, I was probably rooting more for Giannis. I felt like watching that entire series, you would watch the game and you would be frustrated with everything that Milwaukee and Giannis would do. Then you look at the box score and Giannis is 36 and you're just like,
it's not pretty, but yeah,
what, like how? And so I think that was one of those series where we just talked about Ben Simmons, who doesn't want to shoot, has no confidence, just doesn't want to be there. And you look at Giannis, who also can't make a free throw like Ben Simmons, although he did in game seven, but he also doesn't care. He keeps going to the hole. He keeps getting charges called against him, right? He keeps getting balls turned over, but he keeps scoring, right? Like he keeps going up and keeps going, keeps getting fouled, keeps going to the line. I don't know what it is about Giannis, but that made me kind of like, I was just like, this guy is unbelievable. I mean, that was the coolest part of that series for me. Yeah, relentless. One of the coolest parts of that series for me is that he wasn't great. I mean, he didn't play great. Maybe he's playing the wrong style. He shouldn't be shooting threes, but that confidence was incredible. Because he got guys like Draymond, who I feel like they talk like they're confident, but then when they play basketball, they're not offensively, at least. But Giannis, it seems like he's actually confident, which is really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I to wrap this all up, it's been phenomenal basketball, and I hope Warrior fans are watching it, because I think we can all learn something about kind of what we want the Warriors to pursue going forward. I think at minimum, we all agree they need more offensive skill. They need more shooting. They need more playmaking. They need to look into players who can create their own shot in one way or another, because this using just Steph to draw a triple and hoping the system will create a bucket is just not going to work if you don't have the right kind of talent anymore.
Yeah. And then I think on the flip side, watching this does tell me, like, if they do pick up the right veterans, they are in a pretty sweet spot, because I am watching this team and I'm like, I thought the Brooklyn, they got hurt and it was tough. I don't think Kyrie was ever going to play. Harden, I don't know what his deal was. He never got re-injured. I don't know how you play 45 minutes twice with a hamstring and you don't re-aggravate. It doesn't make sense to me. So was he actually hurt?
He doesn't really run. So,
So did he just play at 40%? Then it's like, I don't know what's going on. See how scared he looked, by the way, at the end there when he got the ball from KD. That was the only team I felt like, well, if they're running on all cylinders, you probably can't beat that team, right? Like, even the Warriors, you look at it next year, I'm like, that's tough.
If those three guys are healthy, that's a
that's tough.
That is a pain, because we've seen the onslaught they can put on teams when they do that. But you know what, man, at this point, you got to wonder how healthy they'll ever be.
Somebody said, I think you said that. Somebody said that in the middle of the season. You're like, hey, look, this team is probably going to win the title, but can they get there? Like, are they even going to make it? Turns out they couldn't make it past the second round. So it's like, that's a valid question. Same question you have about Klay Thompson. It's fair. Is he going to make it? Is he going to make it to the postseason next season? But I think talent-wise in the Western Conference, I'm watching these teams, and you throw the Lakers in there even. I think the Warriors are right up there if they find the right veterans.
Guys
are healthy.
They have the most important element, which is a superstar to build around. Now the question is, can they get the right pieces to get to the next level? Mm-hmm. Because as we saw, we didn't talk about Utah much, but it's like, you can be the smartest team, but if you don't have the superstar to build around, like, what are you going to do? Right. And they're going to be good next year, but end of the day, they still have kind of a Gobert. Like, Gobert's just not that guy, you know, not that guy, pal. I love that video.
I do want to do a minute on Utah, because that was a team I was rooting for. And it is sad. It is sad to do analysis where it's so easy. And it's just, well, they just don't have the star. Like, that's the analysis. Like, that's it. And you kind of can't argue against that, because who is that guy for Utah? People are arguing that Rudy Gobert is their most important player, their best player, which is kind of a problem. Donovan Mitchell, awesome, but he's a chucker, right? And does he actually make people around him better? So that's a tough one. It's a tough one to lose two straight to a team without Kawhi. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, and it's just the same issue every year with
What can they do about it? Donnie Mitchell,
Wade? I feel like they've legitimately optimized what they can do with that roster. Like, that's the saddest part. I'm like, they are so smart. They play together. They do everything right. But, like, just talent. It's just a talent issue for them. Just a talent
issue. Atlanta Hawks, right? They kind of remind you of that Budenholzer Atlanta Hawks team.
That's a good analogy where you're like, I like all of you. I don't know that I love any of you type of players, right? Like, that's kind of the roster they have.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's move into the lottery.
Yeah.
The lottery is Tuesday night. We're going to find out exactly what kind of options the Warriors have. Theoretically, the Warriors can get the number one and the number four pick. Less than a 1% chance of that happening. So less I don't think it'll happen. Ooh. As we're looking at it right now, it's their own pick is highly likely to be number 14, 97.6% chance. The Minnesota pick is a little more of a question. There is a 27.6% chance that Minnesota keeps the pick and a 72.4% chance the Warriors get it. And if the Warriors get it, the most likely place it'll land is seven, honestly. Probably they'll fall back one spot in it. But the odds are they're going to be in that like 6 to 8 range. They might move up to four. More likely they'll be 6, 7, 8. What are you doing to bring the Warriors some good luck so that we can get that 1 and 4?
You know what's crazy about social media now, and this kind of off random tangent, but do you remember when the Warriors had a coin flip for that Harry B pick?
Yes.
Do you remember that way back?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah, 2012. So I guess Twitter really wasn't that big back then. You couldn't find an update. You couldn't find an update. So I remember I was on Twitter and I was just scrolling, trying to figure out what happened to the pick. And I guess suddenly it just came out in like an article or something like that. Like that's how crazy it was, right? Like Woj and Shams weren't really like that, weren't really a newsbreaker for the nowadays. If you get a coin flip, they're tweeting every single thing leading up to it. All that being said, I don't even remember what I was doing back then, hoping that the Warriors would get that pick. Pick turned out great. Harry B, pretty good. What I want to see is I don't know who's going to the lottery or Rick anything Waltz. Like that. Rick Wells, that's who's going. I would like to see Clay on IG Live talking about the lottery. I would like to see that because Clay on IG Live, was he done 2 weeks in a row or something like that? Highly entertaining.
Incredibly entertaining. We cannot get enough Clay Thompson content around these parts. Literally when the sun comes out in June and the city is 70 and beautiful, Clay is just perfect. Could be in China, can be in the Middle East. Can be on a boat in the bay. Just every summer around this time, Clay gives us just the best content.
He has been fantastic. I would like to see his reaction. And Clay probably doesn't know a single player in the draft. Not a single player. You could tell him Kay Cunningham would have no idea, and I think that would be fantastic. Which now that I'm thinking about it, Clay would be pretty good at as an inside the NBA guy. Draymond's obviously good, but Clay's another guy that'd be good. Steph would be awful, but Clay would be good. He would be a fun guy there.
So you didn't answer my question. What superstitions are you doing? Are you going to make like some sort of special food?
Are you
going to like do some sort of voodoo spell?
I'm not going to check Twitter.
You're going to put on your old school Vladimir Radvanovich jersey.
Vlad Rad, the GOAT 77, I believe. Here's what I did when the Niners were drafting. Because we were all petrified. Well, I was. That it may be Mac Jones. And I did not check my Twitter for 30 minutes leading up to it because I needed the full reaction. I needed to know. I need to feel. I don't want it ruined. So that's always my ritual when it's a big moment. So come Tuesday night, I won't be checking anything. I don't like newsbreakers. I don't like getting updates. I'm just going to put my phone down 30 minutes and you'll hear from me after on Green Room.
Andy Liu blocking Shams and Woj.
Yes, sir.
All right. Over under on Adam Silver making the call, rigging the lottery for the Warriors.
Oh man. I think I want it split in the middle because obviously 1 and 4 is asking for a lot, but how about one of them in the top four? Right? Like how about one of them?
We don't want the Wolves one in the top four.
You can get the Wolves one at four. So I'm okay with the Wolves one at four. Or obviously for the 14th pick, I'm cool with that in the top three, but just one of them asking for both is a lot, less than 1%, but just one of them. Which reminds me, we're all making Adam Silver jokes about who they want to put in the NBA final and stuff like that. I don't know if Adam Silver's not done much. And you look at the final four and you're like, he tried his best to get KD in there. You see some of those like game calls. He tried his fucking best, but anyway.
Yeah, man. That's where I'm at. Do we want to talk about, is there anyone in this draft that you would be, because I know you kind of would prefer to trade the picks if you could get value.
You have a hot take. I want to hear your hot take.
I don't have a hot take. I'm just curious. Is there anyone in this draft where you're like, you know what? I want veteran help, but that rookie would be really cool on this team.
I guess that's the easiest one's Kay Cunningham, right? Like that's the guy who seems like he's Ben Simmons, but can shoot. Like that's the guy who, like, that's the comp apparently is what's going around. I watched like him in the NCAA tournament, which his team is miserable, but he was really awesome to watch. I think he can
defend at the NBA level, like almost immediately. He's got the size. He's like a legit 6'8" and he can legitimately handle and shoot the ball. I feel like very confident that he can do what Tyrese Haliburton did year one, if not more. And then like, obviously can grow into a much better player, but like, honestly, how great would Tyrese Haliburton have been on this Warriors team as a rookie behind Stephen Clay as a third guard? Right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Like Tyrese Haliburton would have been incredible.
Jalen Suggs is another guy who hits that like perfect example where I'm like, I feel confident with you as a 20 minute per game guy on a contending team now with upside to be much better.
That's the guy where I'm watching him and I'm not sure. That's the guy who I'm still willing to trade. I think that's the guy I've watched a lot of him just because I did love him. That's probably the guy I've watched the most where it's like, I don't know if he's a generational can't miss talent. I think you get it. If you can get him at four, they end up at four. I think you still look at trading that pick because he's
good.
Maybe he's good, but he's not like, he's not, he, let someone else, like if you could have a shot, a Joel Embiid, for example.
Right. Yeah, you're
like,
not holding it up over not. That. Yeah.
You know, the question maybe becomes, and this will all be dated in 2 days, but like the question becomes, if you get a top four pick, like, do you move it for someone like Embiid? Like,
is Simmons even an option? Right? Is that Simmons. There? Yeah.
Like that's a pick. So that's cool stuff to look for. Come Tuesday.
Absolutely. All right. Let's end it here. I'm pretty excited. Let us know what your pre-lottery superstitions are and join us Tuesday on Green Room right after the lottery. I believe the lottery is at 5:30, so it's about 6 p.m.